Hello and welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. It's part two of the Nursery Pig Nutrition Series as we discuss presentation and feed management issues. From JBS Live Pork, our guests are Kyle Coble.
I'm Kyle Coble. I'm the Director of Nutrition Operations for JBS Live Pork. My responsibilities are really anything to do with feed, from manufacturing, delivery, working with Mandy on formulation, and also research and development.
Also with Mandy Gerhardt.
I'm a nutritionist with JBS Live Pork. Anything that deals with nutrition or Kyle needs help with, I help with that. And I also oversee our QC lab located in Hedrick, Iowa.
And joining us are PIC's Wayne Cast and Isaiah Spath.
My name's Wayne Cast, and I help PIC with their nutrition program.
Isaiah Spath, I'm a part of the product validation and wean to finish tech services team.
Isaiah, as we move pigs into the nursery, what do we need to do to help them transition successfully?
As these pigs are, you know, being placed into pens, that feed needs to be readily available. We like to target 70% pen coverage, give or take, just so those pigs don't have to work very hard to find that feed. They don't have to wait very long for their pen mates to take the next step up to the feeder. It's one of those deals where we have to make it as easy as possible for these pigs. Sometimes they've been on a long trailer ride and stressed out from obviously being weaned away from the sow. We need to make that access as easy as possible for the first couple of days. And as they get acclimated to using that feeder, we can start to adjust down on our pen coverage by day 5 and 7.
Maybe one other thing, Isaiah or Mandy, to touch on is that we maybe don't count on the feed only in the feeder. We also maybe, you know, those pigs are used to all nursing at the same time, and so they're kind of used to all eating at the same time. So maybe how do you sort of, for that first few days, Isaiah or Mandy, how do you sort of make those pigs have access to feed all at once like that?
In regards to what we do in our system, gruel feeding, at least from what I have experienced, is kind of a controversial issue in regards to everybody has their opinion on it, do it, don't do it. What we have kind of advised our producers is if you're going to gruel feed, do it right. If you're not going to gruel feed correctly, we'd rather you not do it. That's for a couple of different reasons. One is if you just let that gruel feed sit in there, it's high in lactose. That feed's going to sour if those pigs don't eat it up fast. We don't want them to end up with a bad taste in their mouth. We want to certainly use that as a tool, as Wayne was alluding to, as to help them get up on feed, encourage them to eat, stimulate that feed intake and water intake. We don't want to set them back. So that's what we've advised our producers to do. It's certainly a good practice in those small pull pens, sick pens, hard starters, if you'll do it correctly and making sure that that feed pan or gruel pan is licked clean within 30 minutes. We just really don't want a guy to go through the barn, dump a bunch of gruel, and let it sit there for the day. In regards to, we get asked a lot about gruel consistency. You know, oatmeal is a good standard. Everybody kind of likes their oatmeal a little bit different, so I'm sure Isaiah can give more specifics as far as PIC's recommendations, but kind of in that oatmeal consistency is what we would suggest, and at a minimum of 2 times a day, if not 3. So the big impact there is just getting those pigs up and stimulating the feed intake in addition to mat feeding. The same idea there is just getting in the pen, getting those pigs up, getting them think about eating, stimulated. Those are big tools that we can use to increase the amount of feeder space, for lack of better terms, in that early weaned period.
Isaiah, you've got a help sheet or a poster or something on that subject, right?
Yeah, Wayne, we've got our early pig care poster that would outline, like Mandy said, if you're going to do gruel feeding, the correct way to handle that. And Mandy was spot on. If you do it incorrectly, you're probably going to hurt yourself more than help yourself. what I've seen out in the field, many times some producers or caretakers will think, well, if some is good, more is better, which is actually can be the opposite, especially with that gruel feeding process, like Mandy mentioned, with potentially souring that feed. And then also just from a humidity and dampness standpoint within that pen, when they're tromping through that gruel feed, can build up that humidity in that within that pen environment, definitely can challenge those pigs from a comfort standpoint as well. If we were to do it correctly, our recommendations would be that each pig has enough space to eat at the same time within that pen that you're gruel feeding, because again, these are compromised pigs that we gruel feed. So we don't want to increase the competition by having too little gruel space. And then also our targeted recipe would be approximately 75% water and 25% feed. Sometimes with our pelleted feeds, we'll need to let that gruel sit before we feed it, let it soak up, because a lot of times these pigs will dive into it. And if we haven't let those pellets and that water soak and mix together, they can go dive in and start drinking, but then they're just going to fill their bellies with water and not get many nutrients out of it.
When we talk about feed, obviously need plenty of it, but even before that, we need waters. What do we need to know about making sure sufficient water flow is available and there is sufficient access to it for these nursery pigs?
Yeah, good question, Ned. At PIC, we would recommend one drinker per 10 to 12 head. You know, if we think about ourselves in terms of how we eat and drink, you know, we're going to consume more food if we have a beverage with us. That water is essential for these pigs. The water intake on nursery pigs can be anywhere from 3 to 4-fold compared to the amount of feed they eat. So that water has to be readily available, clean water source, and we have to make it easy on those pigs to find that water source. And if available, be able to drip or have our water available for 6 hours post-arrival. So whether that's unscrewing the nipple to make them leak just a little bit, whether it's taking a rubber band or bungee cord to hook those nipples up so they're dripping just a little bit. So when those pigs are exploring their pen environment, they can find that water very easily. And the faster we can get those pigs to find water, the faster we're going to get those pigs to start eating.
I saw a producer that he'd stick a wooden golf tee in there for the first few hours. And then I've seen other producers take a wad of paper towel and stick it in there. In 4 or 5 hours, they've got that wad of paper towel out and they're drinking. They know where the water's at. But finding it's really important. I saw a real clever idea the other day, Isaiah. This guy is an old man like me. And he had cup waters, and he wanted to make sure those pigs could readily access water. So he had a cane, and he would walk along, and he'd use the tip of that cane to fill those cups. So he didn't have to bend over. He didn't have to stand on his head to fill those cups. He could just walk along, and with the tip of his cane, because so many of our pigs, you know, it's not like we're just moving them from one side of the farm to the other now. You know, a lot of these pigs have had a pretty long ride, and they're thirsty.
Hey, what other tools should we be looking for there, Wayne? When you mention these tools at PIC that would help us understand the formulation and the flow through and what we're trying to do as far as presenting this in the best possible light for these young pigs, what other sources or resources are out there?
So Isaiah and his compatriots there, they've got some management type things in this early pig care thing. It's really good. It's done quite well. And then PIC has nutrient recommendations for all stages of life. And so you could sort of see how nursery diets could look. You know, there's a tremendous amount of variation, and we certainly don't have every combination of ingredients available, but pigs would do well on the diets as they're laid out in the nutrition manual.
What are some of the things that you have learned that you didn't understand when you first went into the position that you're in currently?
So Isaiah and Mandy talked about the stockmanship and how delicate these pigs are and how we need to take care of them. A human baby, when it's born, has more body fat on it than a 3-week-old weaned pig does. they're fragile, and we're expecting them to learn a lot in a short period of time. So we need to help them every chance we can and do anything we can to help them. Because I truly believe if the harder you work that first week after that pig arrives, the easier the rest of your turn's going to be. You take care of him the first week, you're going to have a lot less issues the rest of his 20 weeks that he's with you.
Isaiah, what do you know now that you wish you had known then when you were starting out?
For me, with my emphasis on the production flat level execution, is the understanding of why we're doing some of these things, whether it's gruel feeding or mat feeding, how the pig biology works in terms of what that pig's used to relative to the environment we're introducing that pig into on the nursery side of things. So going from eating side by side with its litter mates, essentially all those pigs having a feeder hole on their own, now needing to come to an environment where they have to battle for feeder space, an environment where they have to be stimulated in order to drive that daily feed intake, whereas in the past, you know, that sow would grunt and get those pigs up and they'd start nursing. Taking care of these pigs on the nursery side, we have to transition those pigs to eating less meals throughout the day, get those pigs up and really stimulate those pigs, and being able to understand the why. I think, you know, that's been a hurdle we've been trying to overcome in the industry with caretakers, is if you were to go in and say, hey, gruel feed 2 to 3 times a day for 3 days on these pigs, or mat feed train for 4 to 6 times per day for 7 days, a lot of times you get welcomed with an eye roll and say, yeah, whatever. But if you actually explain with the caregivers and the producers the reasons behind it, the whys, the pig biology side of things, of understanding that environment that pig's coming from, you get a lot more buy-in. And I think more and more producers are willing to go the extra step to achieve that when they understand why. And, you know, whether it's having their high school daughter or son, you know, when they get done with school or practice, run through the barn and mat feed and gruel feed to help achieve those extra feedings and extra stimulation.
Yeah, because they were eating 24 times a day before we weaned them. They nursed about every hour. And
that's right.
People are more willing to do it if they understand the why and the benefit. That's a really good point, Isaiah. Sometimes we forget that part.
Questions for each other. Things that you're curious about, wonder why they do a particular thing or why they don't do a particular thing.
Kyle, I think the different size rooms, that's easier to work around than the different lengths of fill time. I thought we could always do the math on the deliveries and adjusting our allocation, but that fill time, and I think you did a nice job when you were at New Fashion working with Chad as far as figuring out how to mark the feeder. You might walk us through that, because I always thought that was good on your part.
Yeah, so, you know, when we're in the research barn, but you don't have to be, we use a feed stick to be able to understand what the amount is of feed. At X measurements from the top of the lip of the feeder, there's this much feed when you level it out. So that was what we did first, is we understood, even with the angle coming off the feed pipe, how much feed was there. We essentially filled up the feeder, let it be filled all the way to the top to the pipe, and then shut it off, and then we hand scooped everything out and we weighed it. And then we put it back in 5-pound increments and created a regression just to kind of understand where we needed to be. And for the stage one, in order to fill it correctly, what we asked the producers to do was to fill every feeder completely to the top and then shut the feed system off. Now, I know that that's probably a little bit hesitating for some people to do, but shut it off. They're not going to eat the feed down in a 24-hour time period. It's going to be relatively longer than that. And the reason for doing that was whenever they stocked the room, I asked them to start that room and stock the pen from front to back. Now, a lot of people might split them evenly across the room. The reason I didn't want them to do that, and we still don't want them to do that, was because I want to make sure that the last pig in the door still gets his allocation, and it's all the way to the top, essentially filling it one time. If they don't do that, what happens if they start running that feed system after they've filled every feeder to the top of that mark. What happens is those pens in the front get a lot more of their stage one allocation than they need. So what you need is you need to shut those off and wait until those back pens are eating some feed, and then you can start the feed on. Now, a lot of people want to put the first pigs on the halo, where the feed system will turn itself on and off, and that's certainly what we want to happen. But whenever you finish filling the barn, that's when you want to turn that feed system back on to make sure that that allocation gets appropriated correctly. And then the other important part is in your small pens, where the sick pigs are, or your fall behinds or your starve outs, we fill them all the way to the top, but then we would scoop the feed to the sides and let more feed run. We knew that even with the angle of the feed, we wanted to make sure that we had that feeder completely full. And even on some of those feeders, we would cut that pipe up above where the feeder was, so when it angled, it hit the top edges on the outer ends of that feeder, so it was full plus some.
Yeah, so the they got more than their share.
With us on the Squeal this episode, and the one prior for the Nursery Pig Nutrition Series, was JBS Live Pork's Amanda Gerhardt and Kyle Coble, along with PIC's Isaiah Spath and Wayne Cast. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.